Terry, can you hit, press the button on that phone? There's a go live or record or play or something at the bottom. There you go. Amen. We didn't even receive the offering, did we? Oh, my good. Gentlemen, go ahead and receive the offering, please. We thank you for your giving. Amen. God thanks you, and God will pay you back. I know. Oh, man. Open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians 8:6. We'll start there. Have fun. Man, you guys all right today? You guys tapped your device, you flipped your page already? You know, when I started this series, and we actually have three more Sundays and counting today on Who Do You Think You Are, it was today that I noticed that the headless person in the graphic is a man. Huh. Which, you know, that describes a lot of, I'm not going to say that, but anyway, you have to see yourself as who do you think you are, not even if you never wore a tie, even if you never wore a suit, because God isn't just concerned about sons, He's concerned about sons and daughters. And that's the beauty of Greek, is that the Greek words for so many times in the New Testament for sons actually means mankind or humankind or just human beings. Amen? Because we're all human beings, aren't we? Yeah. So Paul's writing to Corinth. And Corinth was a fun church. Y'all would have loved it. They got drunk at communion. But he's writing to them and he's reminding them of one thing, and he's changing something because he's speaking to a Gentile people, to non-Jewish people. But Paul takes one of his traditions, the Shema, and it's the Shema is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one," right? Well, Paul takes it and he says in 8:6 in Corinthians, it says, "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist." For whom and through whom. I don't know about you, but nobody taught me about for whom and through whom and all the times that I have sat and listened to somebody speak about God. It's so, I don't know if I've ever heard a series based on, I've never heard a message based on 1 Corinthians 8:6. There's one God, our Father. Paul's talking to people. Oh, you got to read Corinthians one day. You got to do. When you think about those people don't deserve God, when you hear people that think like that, okay, because you wouldn't, right? I mean, people in other churches would think that. People in other churches think that about us. But anyway, the people in Corinth were insane. They were. They were really out of their minds. Because they were fresh. They were new. They didn't have any teaching. Where would they get teaching from? Christianity is like 15 years old here. 15 years old. Can you imagine? We have thousands of years of teaching and interpretation and tradition, right? We have 2,000 years of it. They had like 15. And they still couldn't agree on anything, which is funny to me. But that's just people, right? But seeing God as God the Father, I can't think of a better theme for Father's Day. Because There were times when I was a good dad, and there were times when I was a terrible father. I tell Cody all the time, you know, whatever you get angry about, I would have gotten about angrier exponentially more when I was your age. Because it's, you know, you just, sometimes as a man, you're just angry. Right? You just can't tell anybody. They all know it. But God is not the angry man. And everybody tells us that God is the angry man. That if you don't do right, he's going to be mad at you and you're going to get in trouble. And you're not going to like him when he's mad. Yeah. I mean, because it's a common thing. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. He knocks on your door and he wants to come in because he loves you. What happens if you don't open the door? Well, you don't want to find out. That's a crazy theology. You know what God can't do? God cannot do this thing right here. God cannot be who he is not. He cannot be who he's never been. Because he's perfect. He doesn't have to change. He doesn't have a goal of improving himself every day. He doesn't look in the mirror and say how special he is. He doesn't say, you can do what you need to do today. He doesn't have to psych himself up to go get something done. He just does it because he just is. He doesn't have to strive to love even me because he just does. Remember, I've told you, God is three things. God is love, God is light, and God is life. That's how the Bible describes him. And I don't take it literally like he's just light, like, you know, you can't touch him, you can just see the brightness of it. You know, you think about light. I saw the craziest thing. You guys watch reels sometimes, right? You doom scroll on your phone sometimes? Okay, good. I'm in the right place. So there was one that came up and it said, there are stars that have been shining their light for billions of years. And they died, and we're still seeing their light. God is not that kind of light. Because he doesn't cease. His love is relentless. So today I chose a different kind of story to talk about. Because I usually go with Luke 15, right? The coin, the sheep, the coin, the son, right? Which only Luke gives us those three parables. Because Luke was a party animal. You look in Luke a lot, and there's a lot of partying going on. I think Luke included the parables because he wanted to say, and after they were found, there was a large celebration. And after the woman found the coin, there was a large celebration. And then after the son returned to the father, there was a large celebration. And somebody forgot to invite the older brother, which was always fun. So anyway, in Matthew 16, y'all turn there. I'm going to read it to you. I'm reading the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition, whatever that is. It's in English. I can understand it. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, y'all know where that is? It's kind of in northeast of the Sea of Galilee. How about that? Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some think you're John the Baptist. And others people say that you're Elijah. And still others say you're Jeremiah. Who would want to be Jeremiah? He was the worst, according to the Jewish people. Anyway, or one of the prophets. Jesus said to them a very important question. It's not in the text, but I'm emphasizing. But who do you say that I am? all of them were silent except for Peter. And Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, that on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And he told his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. You know what struck me about this story? Is Peter has this epiphany. You are the Son of the living God. Because, see, this is different from the Roman emperor deity worship, where Caesar was a son of God, where Augustus was the son of God, where Tiberius, the current son of God. Because they just believed that they were deity. But Peter does not have that belief, because he's Jewish. There is one God, and his name is Yahweh, right? His name is Jehovah. His name is, right? And Peter looks at Jesus, and he comes up with this wonderful, "This is who you are. This is your identity." He didn't say, "This is who we say you are." You are. And then Jesus says something that I never even picked up until this week. He says, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father revealed it to you." And then Jesus goes on to tell Peter who Peter is. There's only one place to go to find out, who do you think you are? How many of us have asked God, "Father God, who am I to you? Who are you in me?" What the questions we ask, and we don't ask questions religiously except for why this is happening to me, but we normally don't ask God questions, because if we ask God questions, or if we ask questions of the Bible, because some people equate the two, right? The book and the real one. They're not equated. You know that, right? I mean, I love the Bible. I love the 66 books. If we had the Ethiopian Bible, I think it has like 81 or 83 books. It's the largest canon of the like 16 different canons. Somebody tells you that, you know, the Bible is can be believed for every word literally, you know, you just ask them, which canon are you talking about? You know, because if they're Catholic, then they don't believe the Protestant one is. They're Protestant, they don't believe the Catholic one. Or the Orthodox, right? Of course, if you got a King James, I mean, who could get better than that? I mean, Jesus read that, right? Anyway, I was going somewhere with that, Becky, and I lost where I was going. It's okay, though. You can only find if you're willing to ask. We don't ask questions of the Bible because it intimidates us, because it makes us think that we're doubting. And Peter had a wonderful high point of his life. He wasn't always this Peter, was he? Because we're not always on the pinnacle of success, are we? Sometimes we're in the valley. Sometimes it's in the valley where we learn things. asking God, the Father, to reveal to you who you are and who Jesus is to you. See, sometimes I think we're not really interested in growth. I really do. Sometimes I think Christians are just happy to have a place to go and have freedom to worship and people that they like doing worship with and people that they like doing life with. But it's not like we go to God every day and say, hey, who am I? Am I the same person that I was 25 years ago? Because I promise you I'm not. No. to some people's derision, but I am not the same person I was 25 years ago. I remember that guy. And I'm definitely not the person that I was 50 years ago. Or 40 years ago. The 40-year-old guy, we wouldn't let have a microphone. Because he'd have you all playing Pong before you went home. You have to. You ever been in a position or a place, whether it was in school or it was in a job, there was a performance review? You ever had one of those? Dads, have your kids ever given you a performance review? Because that's pretty funny. It really is. I like hearing life through my sons and daughters' eyes and ears. But we used to have a performance review at a job that I worked at, and I never liked them. Because I was never where I wanted to be when I went there. And it always seemed like no matter how good I did, right, they still... you're like this, and then we want you up here. You know? They're always doing this. God comes in, your Father, my Father, our Father. He comes in, and we're down here, right? We're underneath the snake's belly, right? We're low, right? Now, maybe not you, but I was. I was very low. And he comes in, and he doesn't say, I want you here. He pays the price for me to be there. And this scripture didn't bring it out, except for, from whom are all things, and from whom we exist. God has been your Father since before you were conceived. You were in Christ before you were on the earth. I've said this in various ways over the years, but you've never been somewhere God is not. You'll never go somewhere where He is not. Peter here in this moment. Why Peter spoke and John didn't, or James didn't, or Bartholomew. Thomas could have at least said, I doubt what those people are saying about you, Jesus, but he didn't. He didn't even say that. But Peter gets airtime here. This is like a moment. This is like the dream that Solomon had. He goes outside of the city of Jerusalem and offers sacrifices to God. And at night, he has this dream. And God comes to him and says, what would you like me to do for you? And he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for 1,000 wives. He didn't ask for any of that stuff. He said, give me the wisdom to be the king that I need to be for your people. See, the ability to ask the right question in the right moment. He didn't arrive at that on his own. David had coached him throughout his life. And Solomon was never supposed to be king. He was probably the last born son of David. He had lots of sons before him. But Solomon prepared his heart, even at that young age, so that if the opportunity arose, he could ask the right question. That moment is always available to us. And we walk away from it. We don't take advantage. We don't tap into. We don't tap into the relationship that we should have with the Father God. Jesus said, I'm coming to you. I'll be in them. And you'll be in them. And you will love them like you've loved me. The love of God through Christ Jesus for us should be the focal point of our goals, should be the focal point of the direction that we travel in. We go through life asking the question of, who am I? What am I supposed to do here? And I think that's a lot of the problem is we just want to do. Because taking an action is easy. I mean, think about all the times you've heard us, the message of grace, the mercy of God. Nothing you do can make you righteous. You have to accept His righteousness for you. But then after you come to Jesus, you better be doing, because if you're not doing the right thing, then you're not watching and you're not going. Right? I mean, that's another dead-end theological point, because that's not the way it is. If He loved you when you were at your worst, He actually doesn't love you more now, because He couldn't love you any more than He loved you when you were at your worst. I like to think of it as the story in Luke 15. When the kid goes away and he takes his dad's money and leaves and goes spends it on God knows what and God knows where, he ends up feeding pigs and living in a pigsty. Right? Well, his father's waiting at home, and he sees him from a long ways off, right? We know the story. He welcomes his son back into the relationship that they had. That's a wonderful way of seeing the love of God in that aspect, but with one exception. The exception is that when we were in our pigsty, when we were estranged from our Father, Jesus came and climbed into the mud with us. He became mud so that we could become righteous light. And He did that not because someone offered a special enough sacrifice or somebody prayed enough. That happened because the Father sent the Son to welcome back the sons and daughters who did not understand that God is our Father. One Father of us all. I think about that. Especially this weekend, I saw the news of Israel and Iran and the the razor-thin margin between where we are now and where we would be if World War III started. And I think about the loss of life in Israel from October the 7th. I think about the loss of life of the Gazans who've been bombarded since then. I think about the people in Iran. And I go, Father, how can I pray over this situation? I've got good friends that are believing that all this is just the end times and Jesus is about to come into the sky and snatch you all back. I'll wait till I step into heaven. Because as long as I'm here, I'm going to believe that the glory of the Lord covers the entire face of the earth as the waters cover the sea. I don't care about from the river to the sea. I'm talking about as the waters cover the sea. I want to know what is the heart of my Father for me in my life right now. I'm not doubtful of where I'll spend eternity. I don't give it a second thought. I trust Him with who I am and who I've been and who I will be. He knew all of my faults before I knew those faults. And He still loved me. Doesn't excuse my faults. Doesn't excuse me from asking Him to get involved in my faults. But it doesn't break my relationship with Him either. I just want to know who He is in me. Who I can be in Him. How I can make the world that we live in a brighter place because of who God is. And I know it's like a drop in the bucket. But it's kind of like the kid walking along the beach the time of year when all the crabs or all the fish just throw themselves up on the bank. I don't know why they do that. Some species of fish. And this little kid's walking along the beach and he's picking them up and he's throwing them into the ocean. And there are thousands of them laying on the beach. And the guy goes, "You're not making a difference." And the little kid said, "I'm making a difference to this one." You're the one. In Luke 15, you're the lost sheep. You're the one sheep the shepherd looked for. You're the lost coin the woman came to find. You're the child who left and wanted your inheritance too early. And the Father looked for you down the road. For whom all things and for whom we exist. Through whom are all things and through whom we exist. The Father and the Son. So on this Father's Day, talk to Papa. Climb up in Papa's lap. You could even be like Adam if you wanted to, guys. You could say, "It's this woman you gave me," right? I mean, it wasn't no more true for Adam than it is for you, but you can still say it. God will always be with you. He's always wanting to have a conversation with you. He never sees you and goes, "I don't have time today." I love you guys. I know it's a simple message. But is it a simple message? We were fathered by God. Not that we're gods, Don't go down that road. We were fathered by God. We belong with Him. He's not an absent father. He's not a non-paying child support father. He's not a baby daddy. He's not a sperm donor. He's not the things that men are. But men and women can have the characteristics that He has because there is shared DNA. Let's all stand. I had to say it, Becky. Yeah, I know, but they don't need to. But they understand the concept. Father, we just thank You. You are so good, God. Lord, we lift up our lives and our families. We thank You for our dads, the good things that they did in our lives. And Lord, we forgive them for the things that they should have never been to us. But Father, we pray over each other as families, as a community. And Father, we lift up this earth to You, the people of this planet. You know all things. Flip a switch, God. Flip a switch. You can turn daylight into brightness, and You can send darkness fleeing. We leave everything in Your hands. And Lord, I pray over all of our thoughts and our emotions and our digging in You. Lord, show us who we are in You. Show us who we are to You. And never let us get a false image of You in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great afternoon. Happy Father's Day.